It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
On the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, from the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, City National Arena, Darren Millard, along with VGK insider Gary Lawless. We will break down what happened in the Stanley Cup Final last night. A convincing win for the Tampa Bay Lightning to take a 2-1 series lead over the Dallas Stars. We will also dive into what is going to be two important dates on the National Hockey League schedule over the course of the next 2 weeks. Free agency on October 9th, and a couple of days before that, the National Hockey League draft to be held virtually. The first round on October 6th during the evening, afternoon in the Pacific time zone. And, of course, the second round through seventh round on October 7th, a two-day event. But it will be midweek this time around instead of the usual Friday and Saturday. But out of the gate, Gary, there is a story out there on The Athletic and NHL.com quoting Marc-Andre Fleury, and we will get into this because it does affect what the Vegas Golden Knights are going to do and how they're going to handle this free agency. Marc-Andre Fleury says he does not want to be traded and is going to be perfectly happy should he finish his career as a member of the Golden Knights organization.
Great news. Case closed.
Done. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to the Stanley Cup Final. Well, what do you make of the comments that Marc-Andre Fleury has offered up that have been published today?
I guess it presupposes that the Golden Knights are trying to trade him and that they want to trade him. I don't know of either of those things to be true at this stage. Perhaps they are. You know, I mean, Kelly McCrimmon hasn't divulged that information to me. Kelly's not quoted in the story. The reporter, Jesse Granger, asked to talk to Kelly, I think. And, Kelly's pretty busy with other stuff right now, so didn't make himself available. To me, and I've said this a whole bunch of times, the best situation is if the Golden Knights, I don't know that Kelly wants to sign Robin Lehner, or if he's going to sign Robin Lehner. I know that there's been lots of talk about that. If they are able to sign him and they are able to keep Marc-Andre Fleury happy, then great. Like, that's the other side of the story, is that Fleury doesn't want to be traded. Is he willing to work in a tandem situation?
I would think a tandem would be fine. He doesn't want to be a backup, but a tandem?
Well, tandem is, there's usually one guy gets, a tandem doesn't mean you play, then I play. Tandem means two guys that split, you know, maybe it's 60-40 or, in an 80-game schedule, it's closer to 50-30 or 45-35, that type of a situation. One guy is going to play more than the other. And, so.
Well, I was just looking at the Islanders. They did it, and Edmonton did it.
Yeah.
And so there's a bit of
those. What were those numbers?
Edmonton actually started two starts for Koskinen, two starts for Smith the entire year.
Yeah.
And the Islanders did it the last 2 years. So just, I'm not saying that that's the case, but.
Well, I just think with
41-41 is hard, though.
Yeah, for sure.
When guys get on a roll.
Not going to happen. But someone's going to get hurt. That happens too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like. To make any promise, like last time I tried it for a team, I was just a kid, and
how'd that go?
I made it,
okay,
but
good.
I've been cut too. But you were never made any promises at a competitive level about how much you were going to play, because somebody else gets hot, or somebody else gets. And I would imagine if the Golden Knights signed Robin Lehner to a contract, part of the language in the contract isn't going to be, you're the number one, and we'll be the number one for as long as you're here. Like, that's not the way it works in professional sport. You get going good, and you're playing great, and the coach decides that. Like, that's the other factor. Management does what they want to do in terms of bringing in players in, but only one guy has the pen in his hand before every game to fill up the lineup card, and that's Pete DeBoer in Vegas right now. So whatever happens, make whatever promises you want to make, or make whatever plans you want to make. When Pete DeBoer sits down in that office and is trying to figure out how he's going to win that game, that's where that decision gets made.
I'm going to read you a quote from Marc-Andre Fleury. I get along great with Robin, so I think it would be all right. I still love to play. I don't think I just want to be a backup, but I'll practice hard, try to play well, and hopefully get some games. But I'll always come down to the coach's decision. Whatever happens, happens, and that's fine. I'll just try my best and come to camp in good shape and do well from there. Is there news there?
Well, that's on the surface. That makes sense, and that sounds really great. We know that that's not the case.
What is the case?
Well, he wasn't very happy with the situation in the playoffs. Mm. And, you know, to the point where his agent, I'm not making any news here. His agent put a tweet out on social media with a sword going through his back with Pete DeBoer's name on the sword. Like, that can never happen again. And I'm not blaming the agent. Like, I get it. And I know that guy really well. And God love him. He puts his client first. But that's not where the Golden Knights, like, they have a different... There are two perspectives here. There's the perspective of the agent trying to advocate for his player, as he should. And let's not pretend this is just a run-of-the-mill agent-player relationship. Alan Walsh and Marc-Andre Fleury have been together since the kid was 17. Alan Walsh loves Marc-Andre Fleury like a son or a nephew. There is that is a very special relationship. So there's that perspective. But the perspective from the team is, we sign a bunch of players. We want to win the Stanley Cup. And we hand those players over to the coach and say, do as you see fit. And the coach does it with... There can be no external interference with what the coach decides. There can be columns written. There can be tweets posted. But the coach is going to do what he's going to do. And none of this, he called it noise. Pete DeBoer referred to it as noise. So, I think that, like, that statement that you read is great. Is it going to be... Is life are the waters going to be smooth? No matter how Pete DeBoer fills out the lineup card, that is the question that needs to be asked and needs to be answered. And I'm not talking about it in a column. That's the question that needs to be asked internally, and the answers have to be. Satisfactory to a level where the general manager can not worry about it ever again.
Follow up with another quote from Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know what the future holds, but I've loved every moment since I got here, Las Vegas. This team means a lot to me. The city has been so good to me. The fans and owner, Bill Foley, have also been so awesome. It's a great team, and I thought when I came here that maybe I could retire here. I wanted to end my career here. So, all the right things are said, and I think that's important for Marc-Andre Fleury to go down that path because of what's happened this summer. He's committed to the franchise. But if you're looking at this as a VGK fan, as a Marc-Andre Fleury fan, does any of this change where he is going to be handled or what is going to happen over the next 2 weeks? I would say no.
Yeah,
words don't influence what the hockey club is going to do.
You know, those words need to be, like, there needs to be a meeting, if there hasn't already been one, where, management needs to be convinced that, like, they don't want discord. They want harmony. And they want, to move forward in a way where everybody's on the same page, regardless of what the coach decides, that hasn't been the case in the last little while. And there's been, pretty obvious that there's been discord. We're not breaking any news here again. So it's how that get shaped going forward, or how confident everybody is going forward that whatever Pete DeBoer decides to put on that lineup card will be viewed as the right thing to do. And like, it's a dictatorship. It really is. And there can be no room for, I'm not happy. And I'm not so unhappy that I'm going to go public with it. Like, and that's, you know, that's not a place that Marc-Andre Fleury wants to be in. And it's certainly not a place that Pete DeBoer wants to be in, or the guys making the decisions. So, you know, I think this is really encouraging that Flower took the time to tell Jesse this stuff, and that he was going to be happy and was, you know, going to do what the coach wants him to do. But then he does say, I'm not sure I'm ready to be a backup.
The final quote, I understand the business side of hockey and that I might have to be moved. But that's where the front office are the ones making the decisions.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. The last half, that the front office are the ones making the decisions. Listen, I don't think he has to be moved. I think there is a way for Vegas to move forward with Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury. And from a hockey standpoint and from a PR standpoint, I see a benefit in that. Like, I think that schedule next year, they're going to start in January. There's going to be a lot of back-to-backs. There's going to be travel. It's going to be – they're going to need two guys. Mm-hmm. And if you take Marc-Andre Fleury out of the equation, I think Vegas has to go get another goalie.
Yeah.
I think they have to go get somebody that – you know what I mean? Like, if they do sign Marc-Andre – if they do sign Robin Leonard and can't figure out a way to keep Flower in-house – they got to go get somebody else. And it's not going to be as good as Marc-Andre Fleury. So to me, I see the and call it what it is here. There are people here in this town that are bigger Marc-Andre Fleury fans than they are Golden Knights fans. There is a real love for him in this community, as there should be. He wrote a check for $100,000 to help out people in need here. He's won a ton of games here. He's a great guy to be around. He's a wonderful person. There's a lot here. Marc-Andre Fleury, and you know this as well as I do, to be that good, you have to be competitive. And you have to believe in yourself in a way that it's counterintuitive for you to say, yeah, I can, it's okay for me to play 20 games. That he's not wired that way. So now, do you get to a certain point in your career and a certain age where you say, okay, I get it. I'm going to play a little less. We've seen that from Ryan Miller, right? Where he has decided.
Transitioned.
I'll transition and I'll help John Gibson in another way, and we'll, you know, I'm good with that. And that's Ryan Miller, without a Stanley Cup on his resume, not three. And not with a surefire ticket to a Hall of Fame ceremony someday. So, and like, you know, maybe.
No, he changed organizations during that transition.
Yeah. Well,
that's a big difference here, right?
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, will it be easier for Marc-Andre Fleury to make that transition in Buffalo? I'd rather make it in Vegas. That's just me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's got 10 places that he's got a no move for with a 10 team no move, or he can say, I don't want to go to these 10 places. You know, if you really want, if it's a situation where you're not going to be happy and there has to be a trade, maybe management says, we're going to need you to waive that no move so we can accomplish. Like, there are a ton of things here that need to get done, or for if there is going to be a move. And again, I see the benefit in not moving Marc-Andre Fleury, in keeping him in-house, even if you do sign Robin Leonard.
Were you surprised that he spoke?
You know what? I don't know the relationship between... there's no reason for him not to speak, and it's, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't say anything that's that's damaging, or he doesn't try and he says
if nothing else, he clears the air on what his future
for sure
would like to be.
Yeah, he'd like to be here.
Yeah,
I get it. I like living here too. You know, but again, like this isn't. There are promises here. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, when you sign a contract where you get paid $7 million, it does presuppose that you're going to play a lot. Mm-hmm. But again, you know what I mean? Like, you know, things change in professional sport. There's a new head coach here since that contract was signed. There was a trade for a goalie who came in and played really well. Like, it's their circumstances evolve in professional sport, just like they do in everything else, right? You know, you might be the top guy at your job, and they hire a younger guy, and he's not as good as you for a while.
Why is it always a younger guy? Why can't an older guy come
or
and
a younger woman? You know what I mean? That's what happens, right? Yeah. You know,
just to confirm, Marc-Andre Fleury comes out and clears the air a little bit about where he sees himself. But that doesn't necessarily change what's going to happen or influence what's going to happen.
Well, maybe management reads that and says, "Okay, there's an opening here for a frank conversation," and you know, and that leads to you know, some airing of whatever needs to be aired, and at the end of it, it's like, I want to be here, and I'm happy to be here under whatever circumstances. The coach decides that I'll live under.
And it is an important couple of weeks here as we work our way towards the National Hockey League draft and NHL free agency. And things do happen fast, as we saw last night in the Stanley Cup Final. We're going to Game 3 between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars. And a little bit more on the VGK side of things regarding the draft and free agency. Bill and Carol Foley created the Foley Food and Wine Society to celebrate three of their greatest passions: world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and outstanding travel destinations. As a member of the Society, you will have access to an entire portfolio of properties around the globe. The Foley Food and Wine Society offers an exclusive opportunity to join like-minded individuals who seek to experience the finer things in life. Join for free today by visiting FoleyFoodandWineSociety.com. Game 3 and a surprise appearance and a spectacular performance while it lasted in the Stanley Cup Final. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
So the Lightning with the lead. Down the right side, here comes Stamkos moving in with a shot. He scores! Steven Stamkos in his return. His first game in nearly 7 months. It's Tampa Bay, a 2-0 lead.
210 days between games, and Steven Stamkos comes off the bench and out of the bubble and onto the ice, and he scores. Steven Stamkos, the captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning, gave the Tampa Bay Lightning an early 2-0 lead, and they ride to a 5-2 victory in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, Lightning beating the Dallas Stars, and now have a 2-1 series lead. Kenny Albert with a call on radio as we bring you back to Nighttime at Noon, first hour of 3 hours of hockey talk on the flagship station of the VGK, as we have the VGK Insider Show from 4 until 6. Darren Millard and Gary Lawless, the VGK Insider, with me here at City National Arena. Steven Stamkos scored, and we'll talk about that first, and then we'll get into his entire night and the disappointment on that side of it. But that was an incredible story that developed and then picked up steam, and from his coming on the ice for pregame warm-up and then being penciled in the lineup and then scoring on his first shift in 200-plus days.
Yeah, he can still shoot the puck, right? That's the one thing that hasn't been diminished at all. To me, it's really interesting because, like, did he tweak something after that because he didn't play much? How many more shifts did he play?
Played 5 total shifts and 3 minutes, so he played 4 more shifts.
249 he played, right? Yeah. So 4 more shifts and then done for the night. I immediately thought, you know, are they playing him? You know, you have to play in a regular year. You have to either play 41 regular season games or a game in the final to get your name on the Stanley Cup. And then you can petition to get other names to get a name on the cup as well. So, like, my first reaction was, are they playing him tonight so he can just be on the cup? And then I, you know, kind of went and looked it up because I knew that you had I remember when you had to play in the final. And then they tweaked it, I think, to add the 41 games. So I, you know, quickly saw that. Okay, so that's not the case. And then I thought, because it just seems odd that you waited that long and then it was such a short stint. And I guess guys...
Yeah, didn't play the second and third period at all.
But stayed on the bench and was and wasn't in any pain, any visible pain anyways. So... now certainly he will feel part of it. And you asked me a really interesting question. If they do win the Stanley Cup and he's not playing that night, you know, will Gary Bettman say, Steven Stamkos, it's your honor to hoist the Stanley Cup, come on over? Or will he call Victor Hedman?
Because the players that don't play in the game all get dressed and come out on the ice for their
depending on the circumstance, right? Like we've seen the footage of the Penguins a couple of years ago, I think, where they score late, like they make it clear that they're going to win, and with about 3 minutes left, you see all the guys running to go get their stuff on, right? But if it goes to overtime, you know, you're certainly not climbing down from the box and getting dressed in your equipment and sitting in the dressing room like that. Talk about your ultimate jinx. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that. So, yeah, but then, you know, with some time, you get to put it on and get out there. But whether or not you'd be in there in time for the delay, I guess, yeah, you could probably get dressed.
Separate dressing room, too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, just the timing of, and because there's no fans there, the elevators aren't going to be busy. You get down pretty quickly. So yeah, it's all interesting stuff. But I guess, you know, I was excited that he was back in there. I've had the chance to meet him a bunch of times. He's a very likable guy and a great player. I always want the best players to play. Regardless of the situation, because it makes the game better. And, we'll see what happens from here out.
You know, it's a strange one because he had the core injury and had a procedure done to repair that before the pause, and then came back just at the end of phase three and was competing in a drill, participating in a special teams practice, and re-injured himself. They didn't say what it was, but then didn't play at all through the round robin, the first three rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then appears to do, well, he said it's pretty obvious, he himself said it's pretty obvious that he tweaked something. What does it do for next year? Like, you know what I mean? We got a quick turnaround here, and he's re-injured himself in there. Like, how does that impact things?
You know, who knows? Like, where this goes from here is a bit of a mystery, obviously.
It's a big picture scenario for a minor little moment that turned out to be a huge experience for Steven Stamkos. So here is Steven Stamkos, followed by his coach, John Cooper, on the win last night and scoring in his return to the lineup.
Yeah, it was just an amazing experience to share with my teammates. You know, there's been a lot of hard work and different things going on behind the scenes. So just to be able to get out into a game and have an impact on a game, which, you know, a month ago may have never been possible. So it was amazing to be part of a huge win for us. And, you know, I was just really happy to obviously contribute in a game that I didn't, you know, play too much.
You marvel at players and, you know, he only had five shifts, but probably as efficient a five shifts you're ever going to see in a National Hockey League playoff game. But you know, we're with these players day in and day out, like all year. I mean, this is the season that seems to never end. And here we are watching a player come back and then, you know, do what he did in the biggest stage at the biggest time of the year, you can't, like I said, you have to marvel at it. And I don't know, it was pretty damn cool.
It was Sydney-like, wasn't it? Like just when we've watched Sydney come back from different ailments, and he would just seem to effortlessly torch the New York Islanders on an annual basis. But that's what it reminded me of. There was just almost like we should have saw that coming, that he would streak down the wall and fire one home.
Yeah, guys like that, I don't think, you know, it's early in the series. The series was tied 1-1. You know, I don't think you put yourself in there unless you think you're going to have an impact, which he did. And then, you know, obviously it looks like he re-injured whatever is injured, and that shortened that impact. But, you know, I remember when he broke his leg and Team Canada was waiting to see if they could bring him to the Olympics in Sochi in 2014. And like, there was no doubt that if they did, they were going to get a player that was going to have an impact. Like he's a bit of a different athlete, like that burst and that strength and the power that he has. And he still has all of like his ability is all still, he hasn't started to fade at all. It didn't surprise me that he was able to, when he was in, that he was going to have impact.
The only thing better would have been if it was on one of those patented one-timers and slapped it home. But he scores the second goal. Doesn't end up being the winner, but a 5-2 win over the Dallas Stars for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll get into the result as a whole, what this means for the Stanley Cup final moving forward. And as well, on the VGK side of things, we're less than 2 weeks away from the first round of the National Hockey League draft, where the Vegas Golden Knights are going to select in that first round. And a look at free agency. Been dabbling a little bit of that on the VGK Insider Show. We'll bounce a couple of things off Gary Lawless as we continue on the VGK Insider Show, taxing away to the nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I'm getting my shows mixed up. That's the hard part when you're doing all this, getting your shows mixed up. Fox Sports Las Vegas, nighttime at noon, Darren Millard and Gary Lawless.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Along with VGK insider Gary Lawless, Darren Millard, nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Dallas trails the Stanley Cup final 2-1 after a 5-2 loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Plus, we're tracking the start of the National Hockey League draft in a couple of weeks on Tuesday, October 6th. The first round goes on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Dave Gosher, Gary Lawless will be bringing you up to date on what happens there. The VGK scheduled to draft in the first round at the 29 position, and then rounds 2-7 will go on Tuesday, October 7th. Free agency starts a couple of days later on the 9th. So it's a busy couple of weeks for the National Hockey League on the calendar, even if you're not participating in the Stanley Cup final. Gary, just get your thoughts on free agency and the National Hockey League draft before we get back into the Stanley Cup final. Who's the most coveted, unrestricted free agent in 2 weeks' time? Is it Alex Pietrangelo, Taylor Hall, Anton Khudobin?
Well, I guess it depends. Why'd you pick those three?
Just random.
Okay. Robin Leonard on that list, I guess. Like, there's a ton of guys, and it depends on what your needs are and what you can afford.
Well, Khudobin's in the Stanley Cup final. Pietrangelo's high-profile defenseman, and Taylor Hall as a former.
I'm not in the Taylor Hall market, me personally. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my that doesn't fit my, if I'm building a team, he doesn't fit for me. Pietrangelo, obviously, fantastic. You know, Khudobin gave up 5 last night. I'm not sure. I think he's had, you know.
Boy, you are a what have you done for me lately, being the lately part of things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this business, isn't it?
So do you have a most coveted player on top of your mind outside of those three? Because it's such a strange year.
I'm not a free agent guy. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it is how old is Pietrangelo?
29.
He's saying no right now to an 8x8 deal. Like, the end of that contract is, and, you know, who knows where the cap is at that point in time. Maybe $8 million bucks won't be a lot of money, but that looks like a contract to me that puts a team in a tough spot.
He's been destined for Toronto for 3 years. I'm sorry.
I'm told he has no interest in playing in Toronto.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Put a toonie on it, a Canadian toonie?
Well, I'm not.
Are we allowed to the live bet on the air, a wager?
So, well, if you're Kyle Dubas, you're going to sign him. It's going to be more. You can only sign him to 7 years.
Seven years, yep.
And so the AAV has to go up to probably $10 million. You're going to add another $10 million player to that roster? So you're moving somebody out.
Moving somebody, yep. I don't know who that
is. You have four guys making 10 schmil.
I only sign them. I don't trade them.
You have four guys making 10 million.
Pretty good.
Doesn't make sense to me.
They're going to go with seven players this year. that's what's going to happen. So you're not a big free agent guy.
No, because, you know what I mean? Like, by the time you're a UFA, you're usually, you know, like he's 29. And the guys want term, and they want big money and big term. And there's Brian Burke says it best. He said, you know, this is the day where managers has managers. He said this when he was a general manager. This is the day when we make the biggest mistakes we ever make.
I'm going to put something at you. If you're an unrestricted free agent, does COVID impact where you sign your next contract? And not just hotspots. Don't get locked into just that. But the border. And do you not sign with the Canadian team because is the border open to get your family back and forth? I don't know all these, but
or maybe you sign with the Canadian team and you just stay up there.
You stay up there, like. Yeah. But you know what? There's a lot going on in this world right now. How much do you think COVID will impact where a player?
Well,
signs?
If you're an agent and you're telling a guy you should sign here because this is what's going to happen, well, can we all borrow your crystal ball?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just
no.
I just don't think that. I don't like if anyone who thinks that they know what's going to happen is fooling themselves.
So does that lean towards players re-signing with their own clubs at the end of the day and just for a short? I don't know.
I just don't think it.
I'm trying to read trends here, and it's difficult because this has spiked the punch bowl. As far as what this day is going to do. Not that we never really
need
to
what,
do that.
I'll tell you what. Like, to me, the Pietrangelo situation, I hope he has like a real open dialogue with Doug Armstrong. Because he might find out it's October 9th, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might find out, you know, a couple hours into this whole thing that 8x8 is pretty good. There's all these articles out here right now about buyouts. Who's going to get bought out?
That window starts tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't expect anyone. Like, maybe Henrik Lundqvist. But, like, how do you go to your owner right now when there's no money coming into the business and you don't know if you're going to play this year and say, hey, we need to buy this guy out so that I can do this? And then the owner, who, you know, has a better pipeline to Gary Bettman than you, says, well, like, the commissioner hasn't even told us when we're going to start. Hasn't told me how many tickets I can sell. The governor of the state where my team is, or the premier of the province where my team is, hasn't, you know, the health board has not indicated whether or not I can have fans in the stands. So you want me to write a bunch of money for a guy not to play so you can go and sign another guy to play
for cap space,
but we don't know if we're going to play or when we're going to play or how we're going to play. If you're the general manager, that is a long walk into that office to make that ask.
It will really illustrate the value of cap space, won't it? If you're willing to write a check times,
the teams that have space are, I have a feeling, are going to be teams that are going to be really conscious about spending. Like, Ottawa's going to have space, but they're not going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that Winnipeg is going to have space. But again, you know what I mean? Like, you know, their owner is on the executive committee. You would think he, you know, knows the situation as well as anyone else. I just get to be really careful about what you do. And I won't be surprised if there are hockey trades for the first time in a long time rather than money trades.
So I threw Anton Khudobin in there because he's making $2.5 million right now in a 60-40 type split with Ben Bishop in goal. Bishop signed for a couple of more years. They have Jake Ottinger who took over for a couple
How
of third
Bishop
periods.
Make?
Bishop's making just over four. So it's cap hit, so it's not bad, right?
Yeah, like if I'm Dallas, I'd be real happy to keep Khudobin, give him a big raise, give him a couple more million.
He's 34, so
doesn't have to be forever.
Yeah, so that's where I was going with just how COVID and everything else is going to affect this type of free agency.
Yeah.
And he gets his team to the Stanley Cup final, 2.5. I'm not sure how much of a bump he really gets. Because they have overages, too, because of the Corey Perry contract and different bonuses.
Oh, you're telling me they don't have the room.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not sure where, despite leading your team to a Stanley Cup final, it's just that it's the worst possible timing.
They got a weird window there in Dallas, right? Like, like right off the bat, you look at Tyler Seguin, all of a sudden doesn't look like what he once was.
He's not the best 91 in the series. He's not.
Pavelski
the other guy
is,
played for about 5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Pavelski's no spring chicken. Perry is getting near the end. Like they've got some really nice younger pieces, but like if they don't win this year, if they don't win this series, they might take a step back for a year or two.
Do you read anything into what Tampa Bay has been able to do the last two games as far as your prediction for where this series is going to go, or is it still game by game for you?
No, I see. It looks to me like Tampa is starting to take the series over. I said before the series that, you know, part of me wanted Dallas to win because of Rick Bonus and kind of person he is and how, you know, how hard he's worked and just what a wonderful guy he is. But then my head said it was going to be Tampa, and I think my head's going to win out. And to be honest with you, as the series goes on, I've decided that I don't think, despite my affinity and my admiration for Rick Bonus, I hate the way the Dallas Stars play, and I would not want that to be the start of a trend.
Expand on that.
Well, they it's ugly hockey. They
muddy the track, eh?
They take a lot of the life out of it. Yeah, they stand there with the hose and they pour water on the track so that they turn it into a mud fest, to borrow your phrase, and that you know that Tampa plays high-end hockey. They compete all over the ice. They play great defensively, but they're exciting to watch. Like I think you get your money's worth when you go see the Lightning play.
Heavy. They added some size, and John Cooper's been really upfront about what they've added in Patrick Maroon and then Coleman, but Goodrow as well.
Barkley Goodrow, yeah, for sure, yeah. 7 months, that trade was 7 months ago.
Incredible, right? And it seemed like it was...
it's a deadline deal.
Yeah. So let's get into the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. We'll explore that as we continue here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Along with Gary Lawless, I'm Darren Millard. Stop by and visit City National Arena, located in downtown Summerlin. Bring the family to learn to skate like the pros at the official practice facility of your Vegas Golden Knights. For hours and programming, visit citynationalarena.com. Final segment of Nighttime at Noon. Tampa Bay Lightning have a 2-1 series lead over the Dallas Stars. Marc-Andre Fleury did an interview that was published today, says he does not want to be traded. And we also discussed a little bit about the National Hockey League free agency and the draft, which will start on October 6th. The Vegas Golden Knights selecting in the number 29 position. And over the course of this break, well, we got some news that comes out from the National Hockey League, Gary, that says the protocol for off-season training ahead of the 2020-21 season, which is effective for each club at the conclusion of the Stanley Cup final. So did you have a chance to look at the announcement that was made?
Because October 15th, you can have starting on October 15th, you can have 12 guys on the ice at a time. Is that correct?
Looks like it. Yes. Yeah. I'm just perusing it as I pulled it up on the old laptop, and
so pretty similar to phase two, right? Or maybe actually phase. We get the phases
two,
mixed
up.
Phase two was phase two small groups, like you could only have six on.
Yeah.
And then phase three was.
But phase two,
phase two expanded, actually. So the expanded version of phase two.
I am not unfazed by this.
Yes.
I'm completely phased. This is important, and people are wondering because the Golden Knights are into their offseason. You heard the players talk about getting a break, and this is really key for the seven teams that did not participate in any type of training camp and went to the bubble, that they can kind of get back and going a little bit. So significant for those clubs because – talk about the time off the Barkley Goodrow trade 7 months ago. Some of these clubs haven't played in 6.5 months.
Absolutely, yeah. And if it goes to January, if you're a Detroit or L.A., you know, San Jose, teams that didn't make the play-in round or any of the 24-team tournament, March to January, 10 months.
I was thinking off the top of my head, like seven teams. Could you name them, like, quickly? Boom, 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 boom. And
I just named you three. Ottawa is four.
I'm not putting you in the spot, but I was thinking myself.
The Devils is five. Chicago made it in. Arizona is six.
No, Arizona was in.
Arizona was in.
Buffalo.
So Buffalo is six. And
Anaheim.
Anaheim is seven. California was shut out.
Yeah, just blanked, completely blanked. So they get back at it. The Conn Smythe Trophy will be handed out at the conclusion of the Stanley Cup Final. I ask you this, not because I'm a Conn Smythe predictor, but because we have back-to-back games Friday and Saturday. The Stanley Cup Final could conceivably be over mid-weekend. Do you have a gut feeling if Tampa Bay does run the table the rest of the way, who the Conn Smythe Trophy for the best player in the Stanley Cup playoffs will be?
Well, I'll qualify this with a little story. I was in L.A., and it was the Devils, Pete DeBoer's Devils, and the Kings in the Stanley Cup, and it was the first Stanley Cup that I covered, like, for the duration. I went to, you know, went to parts of four rounds and covered the whole Stanley Cup final. And with about... sometime during that last night, that LA had a chance to clinch, I got a tap on the shoulder, and it was John Delapina, I believe, saying, "Hey, you've been chosen to vote for the Conn Smythe." It's not everybody up there. There's a small group that they pick, and
You guys have your own like secret handshake.
I didn't have very much time. Like, I had been thinking about it, and kind of. And I can't even tell you who I voted for. I can't even remember.
Do you remember, was it a 1-2-3 type thing? The Hart Trophy where you pick five players and it's a point system? Or was it just a one player and most votes end up winning? I can tell you that I go with Braden Point right now. But Victor Hedman would be a very close second. I would go with Point just because... the idea of being able to score so many goals, and he's been outstanding, clutch when it comes to putting pucks in the net. But I get the Hedman argument. It's a tough decision between those two players. Yeah, a two horse race though, and I'm glad that a goaltender is not really in the mix for me.
Yeah,
who do you go with?
Victor Hedman.
Yeah. 10 goals.
Yeah,
it's hard to hit double digits and goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And there's an interesting theory out there that Vasilevsky isn't that good. It's the team in front of him.
No, I think he's the best goalie in the league.
That's
and I still wouldn't vote for him for the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, so that's I think that they're really good because of a lot of what gets done by Victor Hedman. I think just defensively, he's fantastic. I'm trying to see who won the year I was there. When did LA beat the Devils in the
2012?
Is it 2012?
Yeah. No, Jonathan Quick. Was it not Jonathan Quick won the Conn Smythe Trophy in 2012?
Jonathan Quick.
Yeah. Victor Hedman, 10 playoff goals. The only defensemen with more in a postseason are Paul Coffey and Brian Leetch, who, correct me if I'm wrong, both made the Hall of Fame.
Paul Coffey for sure. I think Brian Leetch is the Hall of Fame as well.
And Brian Leetch won the Conn Smythe the year that he scored his 11th, 1994, with the New York Rangers. So that's how incredible.
Leetch won the Conn Smythe that year, not Mark Messier.
Yep.
Huh.
Yes.
And you could have voted for Trevor Linden, I think, in that year as well.
Yeah, you know, who hit the post for Vancouver in the waning seconds? Defenseman. went off the inside of the post, and I still can't believe that puck stayed out to force overtime at Madison Square Garden. But
Jurki Lumme?
No, it wasn't Jurki Lumme. It was a guy that you wouldn't expect, that you were kind of surprised that he was even on the ice
for that
faceoff. It wasn't Garth Butcher, the great Regina Pat in St. Louis Blue. It wasn't Garth Butcher. But Paul Coffey,
where are they now? Where's Garth Butcher now?
I have not talked or heard from Garth Butcher in years. I'm thinking that he's in the St. Louis area.
All right.
Because they all hang out in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, it's a good place to live.
It's an amazing
It's where referees live.
Is that just because it's easy to get places?
There's a one of the airlines has a big hub there. And, for years, there'd be like 15 referees would live there. And easy to get around. They're in Guelph, Ontario.
Well, Guelph's not a hub.
No, but it's really close to Pearson in Toronto. You can afford to live there. It's not... not the the expensive real estate they have in Toronto, and you can get to Pearson real easy. And Andy Van Helleman lived in Guelph forever, and kind of it was a big tree that came from Andy.
Yes, it's amazing that some of those people just create that, right? Like that there's like Pat Quinn had that. The amount of people that that he groomed and mentored over the course of the years and spawned out is absolutely incredible. Some people just don't have it at all, even though they've been around the game forever. But Pat Quinn was one that certainly influenced the careers of so many people. Do you ever play trivia with yourself, like how far back you can go for Stanley Cup champions or Conn Smythe Trophy winners or Hart Trophy winners and that kind of the ilk? I don't get the odd time to just sit there and BS with you very often.
Yeah, I was helping my daughter read Mandarin this morning at 6:05 a.m. So that's kind of what's
where your head's at right now.
Well, she's back in school and humming along, and I was looking at some of the stuff she's doing right now, and it's I'm gonna be in over my head here in about 15 minutes. She's 10. Like what they learn in school right now, or what they're learning at her school, is tremendous.
I actually thought you were serious that, like, in 15 minutes you were doing something that was going to be really hard. I'm like, what are you doing right after this show that's so difficult? But thanks, Gary. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Look forward to it again.
You didn't make up any. You didn't make up any stories on this show like you did the last time I was listening to you on the radio.
Yeah, you have to come on and deal with that.
Well, maybe you should, like, actually schedule an appearance and not just have your operator phone me.
I'm just telling you.
Phone rings. I'm doing something with my family, and the phone rings, and, hey, Gary, are you ready to go?
What were you doing that was so important?
Homework.
You can't even remember.
Homework.
Like, that can't wait.
Hey, well.
Seriously. Dave Gosher and Shane Nattie wrap up your week on Nighttime at Noon tomorrow. This has been a presentation of the Vegas Golden Knights and Fox Sports Las Vegas, Nighttime at Noon from City National Arena. On behalf of Gary Lawless, Garrett Calloway, Jared Justice, I'm Darren Lard.